Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Ryan Lindley on today's show, the former Cardinal quarterback who is now, you're thinking, Ryan Lindley. If you haven't heard, Ryan Lindley, and Peter King and I talked about this a couple weeks ago in our weekly segment, Ryan Lindley is now working with and coaching up both Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, the two top quarterbacks in this year's NFL draft. Yes, that Ryan Lindley is coaching Goff and Wentz. How did this all come about? And what has he learned through this process? And is he done with the NFL or not? Last time we saw Ryan Lindley, he was getting crushed here in Arizona. Played a little bit of the cold. So Ryan Lindley coming up. Ken Rosenthal will be with us today from Fox Sports, one of their main announcers on the Fox Sports broadcast team, Hall of Famer, Emmy Award winner, Emmy Award winning analyst, Ken Rosenthal. He'll be with us today on the Diamondback so far in spring, and some of the things he's seen is he is out here in the Cactus League doing a lot of work also with the MLB Network. Obviously, what happened with Brock Osweiler yesterday was on the fronts of a lot of Sun Devil fans' minds here in Arizona. We are Arizona-centric. We do partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We do have our football show tonight, Brad Sussmat Football AZ. Our baseball show tomorrow night, Brad Sussmat Baseball AZ, that is on six different Fox nets. We appreciate their partnership as well. We're all about partnerships here. So we're going to get into that here shortly. If you missed it last night, off the top, Arizona State season did come to an end at the Pac-12 tournament. Bobby Hurley, Eric was there. I don't know why Eric went, but he wanted to go. He's at the MGM, the Pac-12 tournament, other than it's a big party. So they lost 75-66 late last night, so they finished 15-17 in year number one. Arizona plays Colorado this afternoon. The Suns were just awful. I did manage to sit through about 5 minutes of it and said, that's the team I know. That's the team I've come to love. That's the team I've come to respect this year. Come on, boys, you can do it. Stink and stink out loud. Now, that said, when you give up 128 points to the Knicks, the Knicks shot 56% from the floor. 56! They shot 66 from three-point country. You're not going to beat anybody. That's what I want. But more importantly than that, other than they found another way to lose, was Devin Booker scored 32, and he did it. I'm real big on the number of shots guys take. I'm not big on guys that go 9 for 29, and they end up getting 30. You know, I'm just not. So they get to the free throw line, but they also miss 20 shots. Devin Booker hit 50% of his shots last night, 14 of 28. I will take that. That's pretty impressive, even though the Knicks aren't any good. Tonight is Kobe and LeBron for the last time. The Lakers play Cleveland. Steph Curry hit another buzzer beater last night, and Golden State rolled with ease. I did see the end of that. And I did watch a little bit of the Coyotes over on Fox Sports Plus, and they lost in overtime to Vancouver. Greinke threw yesterday, three scoreless, got out of a bases-loaded jam, 38 pitches, 24 strikes. And the Diamondbacks play the Angels this afternoon with Shelby Miller pitching. Shelby Miller, one of those unknowns in some people's minds in terms of, do the Diamondbacks give up way too much or not in that deal? I'll talk to Ken Rosenthal about that coming up just after 10:30. But to the story of the day, at least as we sit here right now, and that is this happened yesterday afternoon. And let me put it to you this way. Those of you that are Arizona Cardinal fans that are giving me the business about why aren't they doing anything, okay? Usually, I've found through the years, usually, you are in free agency on day number one making a big splash because you screwed up the previous, I don't know how many years, with your NFL draft and your player personnel decisions were really bad. So you're going to go take money and throw money at the problem, usually. Now, Mike Iupati last year was solving a problem. The Cardinals for years and years missed on their offensive front. And they found a very good player. They cut a deal. They brought him here. It all worked out fine. There are those occasions. But how many times do we see it where a team goes out in free agency? It doesn't matter if it's a crazy owner or if it's a coach trying to throw a power play. If it's trying to win March, okay, teams that try to win March, like to sit here today and say, hey, we're the Texans. Look at us, man. We're the greatest. We killed it yesterday. I don't know. Did you? I don't know that. You may think you did. Lamar Miller, you may think Lamar Miller is all your answers to your running game. And at times last year, he was really good, especially after they made the coaching change. But I'm not, you know, it's not the end of the world. Brock Osweiler. Look, Brock Osweiler walked out on ASU and didn't even give Todd Graham a chance. He ran away from that, from this situation. He held a clipboard for 4 years and wore a baseball cap. He, if I'm to believe the people whose opinions I trust, wasn't happy with how he was treated at the end of this past season when he was yanked and Peyton was put back in. And so the Texans come along and throw crazy money his direction. Isn't it just nuts, guys? Those of you that have watched football longer than a nanosecond, if you were to just take a step back today and hear that teams are slobbering or falling all over themselves for Colin Kaepernick, RG3, Brian Hoyer, nice guy. None of these guys, I would say, are true world beater difference makers. Like, do you really believe Brock Osweiler has it all figured out? I sure don't. I sure don't. And so for a team that's going to sit there and throw just stunning amounts of money at a quarterback, you know, if Brock Osweiler is getting that type of dough, what's Carson Palmer sitting over here to the side? I know it's a different point in his career. But, you know, what Carson Palmer sitting over here looking at this deal. Any quarterback today, it's kind of like this, okay? When Steve Ballmer bought the LA Clippers, and he did it and overpaid by a long, long, long ways, all of a sudden, Robert Sarver, who's done nothing with the Suns in the last 6 years, his investment doubles immediately, even though he's done nothing, okay? I mean, the team is still here, but the team has missed the playoffs for six straight seasons. And to me, that's doing nothing. You're a quarterback now in the NFL, and you may not have done much at all. And Brock Osweiler, you're just like, yes, my man. Because if he got that much, then look at my resume and look at what I deserve. Quarterbacks rejoice. Quarterbacks jump up and down. Agents get excited. Supposed to talk with Lee Steinberg later today about some stuff. And Lee and I have known each other for years and years and years. And he's a good friend. And he is with Paxton Lynch this year. That's his quarterback that he's landed. And he's been through his highs and his lows. But I'm really interested to talk to Lee later today. And we'll use it on the football show and maybe on the show. Just about what's going on out there on the quarterback stuff. Because I guess for a guy like Brock Osweiler, you didn't want to be the quarterback of the defending Super Bowl champs. And you didn't want to follow in the footsteps of Peyton Manning. But you do want to go get paid and get paid in Houston. And the organization that took good care of you and brought you along, you may not think they took good care of you, but they took good care of you. Put you in this league, they didn't throw you to the wolves. Learn from John Elway, there's worse people to learn from. And Denver's going to be fine. Denver's got such a good offense, or defense rather. Denver's defense is so good that even Peyton Manning, who wasn't great, anybody's going to try to tell me Peyton Manning was great, and you shouldn't talk in ill will. He wasn't great this year. But the reverence towards him is understood, and it should be that way. And look, Brock Osweiler, I don't sit here and hate on Brock Osweiler. It's just I would not touch him. I wouldn't throw that kind of money at him. I wouldn't tie it all up. I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback. I don't. He may go on to the Hall of Fame. He may. All these guys may turn around and get it, and the switch may be flipped. But I think Denver was smart. Why sit here and get into a bidding war over Brock Osweiler? What is the point in that? So, you know, Colin Kaepernick, RG3, Brian Hoyer, those names are sitting around out there. I don't know if any of them are going to do much statistically, but really with the defense in Denver, as long as you don't make mistakes. And this morning, it's all about the Broncos chasing Colin Kaepernick. So if you want your kid to grow up and be a quarterback, it's pretty clear that there's some areas you can go out there. On this point, though, I'm very pleased the Cardinals didn't sit here and throw stupid money at player after player and bring in four, five, six guys. Like, I'm sure if you're a Giants fan today, you're thrilled. You're thrilled. But those were for all of the mistakes that were made in previous regimes. You understand that, right? Like in Philadelphia, it's pretty clear we don't want any reference to Chip Kelly. So we're going to get rid of a lot of these guys who were Chip's guys. I don't look at it like because JPP didn't come here to sign with the Cardinals that this is a dark day. I've had some of that. That's nonsense. That's sheer nonsense. If you are a fan of the Cardinals, if you are a fan of the Cardinals, I just sit here and look at it objectively. I don't sit here with pom-poms every day. But I am a fan of what they've done with their front office. They don't go out and make mistakes anymore. There was a time where the Cardinals were here simply to be used. Go to Arizona, go have them make you an offer, take it back, and we'll sign you and we'll move on. There was that time. And those of you that have been here longer than a few months, you know what I'm talking about. Player after player used this organization. Now, first day of free agency, they make one sign in the secondary. I'm fine with that. Bobby Massey getting $8 million. Are you bleeping kidding me? I mean, seriously, bleeping kidding me. When you see that number for Bobby Massey, so what did the Cardinals do? They drafted DJ Humphreys, and DJ Humphreys was on scholarship this last year because DJ Humphreys wasn't nearly ready to play in the NFL. They were looking ahead and saying, okay, we're going to lose this position. The Cardinals, Ted Larson is up visiting with the 49ers right now. It's fine. Go visit with the 49ers. Their offensive line, as we sit here on the 10th of March, is a very big concern to me, obviously. But I have to tell you that Yupati and Valdir on the left side and over on the right side and at center, you know, you have Jonathan Cooper, and you're going to put DJ Humphreys over at the right tackle position. I guess today on March 10th, you look at that and say, oh my gosh. And you'd have, what, Shipley at center. It's March 10th, so just breathe and hope that your team doesn't go out, if you are a fan of the Arizona Cardinals, and go out and just throw stupid money around at players A, B, C, D, and E. There's no reason to do that. What happens in free agency is this. We have yesterday, we have agents that get teams all excited about their players, and mistakes are made all over the place. Then after a day or two, there'll be more moves today. By the time we get to next week and by the time we get to the owners' meetings, what's going to happen is teams are going to hear from agents that are saying, you got to take this guy. In 2 weeks, the market is going to change. Even a week, the market is going to change dramatically in free agency. So if you're building a business, guys, think of it this way. If you're building a business, you go out and just hire a whole bunch of hired guns because you think you're going to kill it and you're not ready to compete at that level, or you're just trying to put Band-Aids all over the place for previous mistakes you made. That's what the Texans are doing. How many quarterbacks did they roll through down there, by the way? So I applaud what's going on out here. There are times where you have to strike. There are times, if Drew Stanton had left at quarterback, the Cardinals should have been in the market for a veteran out there. But because Stanton is here, there's no need for them to. And I don't know, last time I checked, you've seen where this organization, the last few years, I keep bringing up Steve, because under the previous group or groups, they would never have had the vision or foresight, ever. It would be mistake. Occasionally they'd hit on somebody. Occasionally. Edge. You know, Edge was a hit on guy. But you wouldn't have seen the Dwight Freeney, the Jermaine Gresham. And I'm not saying they'll have to be Pro Bowl players, but they'll have to be parts. They'll have to fit in the right place. And I think the Cardinals yesterday were very smart on that. That's my point. Up next, Ryan Lindley, former Arizona Cardinal quarterback, who is now dead center in the NFL draft conversation. Peter King told us about the story a couple weeks ago, and Ryan is going to join us. We'll talk about how he is working directly with Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, the two top quarterbacks in the draft. And insert joke here. I've seen a lot of that already online about, you gotta be kidding me. I'm not touching those guys. I think that's unfair. Ryan Lindley working with Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. thought, what a great story this is, because we remember Ryan Lindley here with the Cardinals, and it was tough seeing him get beat on unmercifully. And then he played last season towards the end of the year with the Colts, and turns around. I don't think he's done yet from what I've read and heard, but I wanted to get him on the Brad Sussmat Football AZ show for a couple of minutes. Thanks for being with us, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. So you're not done. Let's get this out of the way first. You're not done playing in the NFL, right?
For sure. No, and it's kind of been an interesting transition, I guess, at least a period for me right now. And to be honest with you, at the time when I kind of took this commitment on, I was kind of on the impression that I was. You know, it was late in last season, just before I got picked up by Indy, and I didn't really get a sniff from many people at that time. So, for me, it was just kind of like, hey, let's move on. And I wasn't done playing. You know, my plan was to kind of do this and then potentially look into the CFL or something else. But, obviously things worked out in Indy, and, I took full advantage of that opportunity. And I think it kind of ignited a little bit of a flame. Not that I'm going to be on the ticker anytime soon, signing a mega deal. But, I just want to get another shot and get another opportunity in camp and look forward to whatever's next.
And this is through Rep One Sports, and they take care of you, right? It's part of the business arrangement.
Yeah. So it's also my agency, and that's kind of how we kept it in the family, so to speak.
Okay, so when they pull you in and say, hey, you're going to work with Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, I have to tell you, Ryan, from a distance, I'm thinking, well, there's not two more different places on the face of the planet than North Dakota and San Francisco. So you're dealing with a couple different personalities first and foremost. But when they first approached you about working with these two high-profile quarterbacks, what were your thoughts?
That was the thing. It may have been different if that were the case. Actually, when they first approached me, they just said, "Hey, you know, we're in the running for a guy," and they weren't real specific. They didn't know who it was going to be. And I think Jared kind of came on a little later, so it wasn't until after I'd kind of gotten involved that they knew Jared was a possibility. So I was just excited to work with anybody, and, you know, coaching's kind of in my blood, and, I'm just excited to pass on the stuff I've learned to these guys. So, once it kind of worked out that we got both of these guys, and then obviously the fortunate circumstances for them too, they're probably going to be the first two taken in the draft here in the next few months. And, it's been really interesting. I mean, and like you said, they couldn't be two different guys, two different ends of the spectrum of how you play quarterback. I've told everybody they both are going to get it done. They're both going to be special players, but it's just it's been fun to see how they kind of go about it in different ways.
When you look in the eye of Carson Wentz, what is the message you want to get across to him?
You know, I think you just got to show him what that jump's going to be like. I think coming from an FCS school, it's just there's a different environment in the locker room. I think at an FCS school, you know, you play with a lot of guys that are playing for the love of the game, and you know, they're probably team first guys. They're they're guys that enjoy it, guys that are, you know, willing to run through a brick wall for you, and just kind of letting them know that, hey, you know, some of that's going to be a little different. And the sad truth is, on the next level, it's somewhat of a business. You're going to get some guys that are about that, and I'm not saying the NFL is full of guys that are jaded, but you know, there's going to be other guys that are, you know, a little bit more about themselves, and kind of just for him, how that's probably going to be a shell shock, and how he's going to have to handle that and be the leader of a football team.
Talking with Ryan Lindley, he is working with both Carson Wentz and Jared Goff coming up for the draft with Rep One Sports. When you look at Jared Goff, what do you want to get across to him?
Jared is a little different. I mean, at Cal, it's a big time program, a lot of talented guys. So I think that jump for him, as far as the locker room and different things, and you know, the speed that he played against in the Pac-12 is somewhat similar. It's different. I think with Jared, it's been more getting on the board. And you know, with these guys and these high-powered offenses in college, a lot of times it's tough to find the carryover to the NFL game. So for Jared, it's been a lot about just kind of, hey, let's cover what you're going to have to do as far as pre-snap and the huddle. Getting everybody else in a position to play fast and play well. So that's really been Jared's kind of biggest jump, and I've been really impressed. I mean, I'm going to be honest, I'm one of those old school guys who isn't a big fan of the spread game, and you know, would rather see a Stanford, you know, pound it in 3 yards in a cloud of dust and just kind of take a team's will. But Jared really impressed me with his knowledge of the game. And I think it's really just a matter of, they didn't really ask him to do a ton, but he could have done it. I mean, he's got a great football mind, and he's going to be really excited when a team picks him up and challenges him with a new playbook.
When you're working with these two, Ryan, is there any Bruce Arians or Tom Moore that comes out in you to them that they pass to you that you want to pass to them, or is this just all Ryan Lindley?
No, you know what? I think we're all in whatever field we're in. I think we're all a sum or a total makeup of whatever we've been around. So, you know, for me, I'm giving them stories that, you know, I've gotten from BA, I've gotten from Tom, I've gotten from Freddie Kitchens, I've gotten from Carson Palmer, Drew Stanton, and I've been really fortunate in some aspects where I've been around some really good players, you know, in my time in San Diego and New England, and then even in Indy that past just 1 week. I mean, there's a lot that I learned from Andrew, from Tom, from Philip, and especially Carson, that's going to be kind of paramount for these guys. And I've told them that, hey, you know, if I would have known the stuff that I've gotten from these guys, and a lot of them are the best to play the game, if I would have known that when I was a rookie, when I was coming out in the draft, I feel like things would be a whole lot different. So, you know, my job through this whole thing, I feel like, has just been kind of give these guys a leg up and shorten that learning curve for them, because it's difficult. And at the end of the day, they're going to have to go out there and play. But, you know, as long as they're not surprised by anything, I feel like I've done my job.
And over the next, about the next 6 weeks leading up to Chicago, they're going to go visit facilities. They're going to go through pro days. You can walk them through all of that. What else is it that you're working? Are you working on technique, or is it all off the field?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's a little different. I mean, we're kind of away from the 3 to 4 days a week throwing, and I'm me kind of getting with them hands-on. You know, there's going to be a limited amount of time. I'm going to be doing both their pro days here in the next 2 weeks. So We'll get together in the weeks prior to that and just kind of iron out what they're doing for each of those workouts. But then after that, it's really kind of just going to be a satellite deal. And, you know, I kind of try to stay in contact and text with both of them every day to, you know, be there if they have any questions. And, you know, if something comes up and, you know, they have a meeting or if they have a workout or something somewhere, then, you know, if they have any questions or feelings or nerves about it, then, you know, I just feel like I can be that guy who kind of calms them or sets them straight. But, you know, they're pretty good guys to work with. And they're, you know, they're not only a talent level, but their mental makeup is on a special caliber. So it's been, to be quite honest, it's been quite easy to get these guys ready. And they're just gonna shine when they get a shot next year.
Okay, last question. I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time. When you look at Wentz and Goff, this is fans doing this time of year. They remind you of which quarterbacks? Let's start with Wentz. Who does he remind you of?
You know, it's tough. I think a lot of people have made the Andrew Luck, impersonations or connections. I just think he's obviously very athletic. Very sharp, has done a lot pre-snap and with different things he does. And I think that's where the Andrew, comparisons come. And it's, you know, I played with Andrew, and I think Andrew's one of the best there is. So, I don't know if we want to put that lofty of an expectation on Carson, put that pressure on him. Although if you talk to him, I think he relishes in that. So I guess I'd make that a comparison for Carson as an Andrew. And, you know, with Jared, it's tough. I mean, I've played with a lot of guys that are like him, and Jared's so instinctive in the way he plays the game and so unique that it's tough to really make a comparison. I mean, there's a lot that he does that's like Carson. Body type, he's not exactly the same, but it's just tough to really pinpoint a guy. I mean, he's a lot like Carson. He's got some of that, you know, former Cal Bear himself and Aaron Rodgers in him, but he's just kind of his own guy. He's really a magic man out there and makes a ton of plays and puts the ball in his teammates' hands to make the most of it.
Well, it sounds like a really good situation here in the offseason, and it also sounds from your voice you want to get back at it. We appreciate the time and visit, and best of luck to you, Ryan. Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
It's Ryan Lindley with us, former Arizona Cardinal quarterback, now training Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. Good stuff there. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. All right, let's turn our attention around the Cactus League now with Ken Rosenthal, Best in the Business, Emmy Award winner with Fox, senior writer. And he wrote a big column on the direction of the Diamondbacks. Also wanted to just bounce from camp to camp a little bit with Ken. He is in the Valley. with Brad Sussmet. Ken, thanks for coming on board. What story strikes you most in the Cactus League thus far?
Wow, that's a good question. I would say the direction of the Dodgers with their rotation, what's going to happen there, and how they're going to use all the bodies that they have. That's one for sure. The Diamondbacks, of course, are really interesting just in that they've taken an approach to roster construction that is, frankly, different than virtually every other club. But, you know, when you ask a question like that, I can basically tell you about each team, and they're all interesting at this time of year. Actually, they're all interesting at all times of year. And I always look at baseball as 30 different reality shows taking place, and spring training is the start of that grand reality show. So there are a lot of things that are really catching my attention so far. The A's, I was there yesterday, and they've got actually a heavy roster with position players. They're too many good players, believe it or not. So, again, team to team, there are different issues, and it's all interesting to me.
Let's dive in a little further then on the Diamondbacks. You wrote a very big, long column, which is great, put a lot of meat and potatoes out there about what's going on here with Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart. And I've seen this team, Ken, since day number one to where it is now, and it's gone through all sorts of twists and turns and different regimes. But I feel like from start to top to bottom that this group's got it figured out. They've got the ability to spend. It's just not going to happen overnight. And they are building for the future while trying to win in the present. Am I hitting it on all cylinders from what you see?
Yes. Now, the question with them is, are they actually really building for the future? Or is it just a three-year window here? And then after that, will problems set in? Because let's face it, they have traded a good number of prospects to get where they are, to get the players that they wanted. Gave up the number one draft pick for Greinke. Of course, any team would do that. And where will their prospect base be in a couple of years? I don't know. They also brought in a number of players, younger players. So that's a concern, though, for another day. And if I were a fan of them, I would like the approach, at least in terms of the aggressiveness and the desire to win. Some teams don't have that kind of fierce desire. Now, all teams want to win, but what you've seen is definitely a more fervent approach, especially this offseason. So I'm anxious or interested to watch them play because I think they've got a lot of talent on the field. And I actually believe that they're going to be a lot better than some of the projections think. Now, are they a playoff team? I don't know that. But are they a competitive club? Yes, they should be.
And I think what you're referring to a little bit is, and I've sensed it as well from fans, if you're a first-round pick by the Diamondbacks, you're not going to be here long. Dansby Swanson, Tukey Toussaint, and it has fans concerned in that regard that they have not held on to guys that they are looking at, say, well, we're going to take a few years to develop them, and they've moved them on, and maybe they did overpay with the trade for Atlanta for Shelby Miller.
Right, and that is the concern. And I don't recall another team ever trading back-to-back number one picks.
Right.
That's why it was so jarring that they did that. Now, what will Toussaint be? What will Swanson be? How will it all work out? We don't know the answers to that yet. And while it's easy to criticize what they've done, I want to see this evolve because I've seen over the years, trades that get ripped sometimes work out pretty well. Trades that people think are brilliant sometimes aren't so brilliant. And the sport is so unpredictable that anyone who professes to have any great insight or knowledge about outcome is kidding themselves and kidding whoever they're talking to. Now, their process is a question. Are they going about it with the right process? And that's something that we're going to find out because if indeed they've been too rash here and too impetuous, obviously in time that will become clearer.
Before I let you go, I want to bounce around to some of these reality shows. I think you put it well, that are here in the Cactus League. I don't want to go to all of them, but I want to bounce over to a team that is getting some buzz below the radar because they've built it up, and that's Cleveland. Are they below the radar in your view?
They are below the radar, but I'm not so sure they should be above the radar.
Okay.
And
fair.
We all love their pitching. I get that. I wonder if they'll have enough offense. Now, they brought in some players, Napoli, Uribe, Rajai Davis, but these are more complementary types. And I just look at them, and I like their team, but I'm just not sure it's going to be enough.
Kansas City, what do you see over there? Same sort of as what we saw last year?
Yes, you have to like them. There's no doubt about that. It's clearly a different formula every year, some slight tweaks here and there. They lost Zobrist and Cueto from the team that went as far as it did last year, of course, winning the World Series. But they've done a really good job of reinventing it as they've gone along here in the most recent 2 years. And I don't know if Ian Kennedy will be good enough. We'll see. But I expect them to be quite strong.
National League West, top to bottom. You've been at the Dodgers camp quite a bit. You've seen the Diamondbacks. The Giants have made a lot of moves. Top to bottom through the West, is the bottom that different from the top with the Padres and Rockies? I mean, is it really that big of a bottom?
I believe it is, yes. And I see the three teams, Diamondbacks, Dodgers, and Giants, being the three that are going to fight this out. And probably health will determine a lot of which team is ultimately the survivor, and, of course, which teams make the best moves to the deadline or the necessary moves as the season goes on. But there is a difference between those clubs and the Rockies and Padres, in my estimation. I don't even think it's that close.
Right, right. And I agree with you. It's just, are you seeing any progress, I think, from those two at the bottom is the question. Before I let you go, Cactus League. The way the Cactus League is set up, is it a bubble out here? Do you see more Florida coming here? What do you make out of the Cactus League versus Florida?
I love the Cactus League, personally, because for me, what I do is bounce from camp to camp. Everything is much more contained here. Florida, the drives are much longer. Now, will we ever get to the point where there are 20 teams here and 10 teams in Florida? I don't see that happening. I don't know that baseball wants that to happen, because it would make, obviously, Florida less vibrant at that point. And that's not something that they're necessarily going to desire. So I can tell you this, it's a lot of fun out here. The weather's always great. I just love it. And by the way, I should mention, we haven't even talked about the Cubs. Just to see how the Cubs play this year, whether the hype is justified. I actually do believe it is. And I think they'll be really good, but they're really, frankly, the story of the Cactus League this year.
Yeah, their stadium and the attendance records and the team itself, they've been terrific. No, you're right about that. You're right about that. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always, Ken. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
It's Ken Rosenthal, MLB on Fox, senior writer. Good to catch up with him. Lead field reporter for Fox, Emmy Award winning. It's good to always catch up with Ken Rosenthal, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So yesterday I was calling around to some of the guys in the biz, some agents, people whose opinions I trust, just guys that do this, whose opinions I trust as well across the country. And we're just kind of comparing notes and our network and that sort of thing. That's, I don't just show up here and open up a front page of a paper and say a bunch of stuff and say, that's a show. That's not how this works. It will never be that way. And it's not about chasing a click either. It will never be that way. And, you know, I'm fascinated with what's going on the political front, obviously. And I did watch last night some of Bernie and Hillary. Neither one feels to me like they're in firm control, by the way, I might add on that. But on the free agent front yesterday, with all the buzz being about what happened with Brock Osweiler, I just can't imagine. I wrote about it today. I don't see it. I just see that as the Texans saying, we made a mistake, we got to go find somebody, anybody, and let's just go throw a whole bunch of money. And you know, you look at it and say, has Brock Osweiler done anything at all that shows he can be a guy that carries a franchise for a long period of time? It's a very fair question to ask. If you put the fandom aside, and just look at it and say, okay, what is it that he needs to do? And it was a very smart move by the Texans to go get Lamar Miller. It wasn't like I look at that and say it's the best move available. I said that in the A segment of the show, the front of the show, that I'm not saying that's the big difference maker, but it's smart for them to at least say, let's go get him some pieces that can help him get through this. If we're going to go all in on Brock Osweiler and Arian Foster's not here anymore, then let's go after somebody. And I go through some of these deals because I go back to the team here in my own backyard and look at the team here in my own backyard and say, they've constructed this pretty smart. This is smartly put together on their parts. They needed a running back last year, and Chris Johnson rolled on in August. So please don't give me the they're not doing anything conversation here in March. Now, I don't know about the amount of money to give to Lamar Miller. It's 4 years, $26 million, $14 million of a guaranteed. And you've got to give something at that position to Brock Osweiler and say, please turn around and hand the football off. You know, the Texans are the same team that spent, it wasn't a first, wasn't a second, but it was still a high enough pick on Jalen Strong last year. And we saw where Jalen got popped here a couple weeks ago. I like Jalen a lot. But Jalen was supposed to be a first-round product who plummeted last year. Now Brock Osweiler is trying to go Sun Devil to Sun Devil if you're one of those guys. Lamar Miller, not a bad sign. You know, the Jason Pierre-Paul contract, 1 year, what is it, six and a half, eight and a half guaranteed? So they throw all this money at Vernon, huge money. But Jason Pierre-Paul decides, you know what, I'm going to stay here. Yeah, the Arizona Cardinals are interested in me, but I'm going to stay here. And it's a deal that you look at and say, well, that financially, that's not bad. Tamba Ali was another player that the Cardinals had some interest in, from my understanding. At least that's what the word was, Kansas City, to me. You know, Malik Jackson getting the amount of money that he got to go to Jacksonville, that was a player you looked at and said, well, why wouldn't the Cardinals get in on that? Well, I'll give you all the reasons why, and there are a lot of numbers. So as you look at it and say this first day of free agent signings, I wouldn't even put Osweiler in the top 10. I mean, yeah, it's the sexy headline move, but I wouldn't do that. By the way, front page of the Denver Post today, I didn't have time to pull it off with Jared today, but they have a big front page of the entire newspaper, Help Wanted, and it has like 12 quarterbacks' faces. That's just how different it is in Denver. Compared to here in Arizona. Yesterday was Alabama's pro day, and Derrick Henry, there are some questions about him that were answered. So there's a, you know, it's the football cycle. That's what's going on that front. You're going to hear quite a bit today and tomorrow about a story that was released about an hour ago by Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper came out in an enormous takeout piece by ESPN, the magazine, and ripped baseball and in a way where he just said, quote, baseball's tired. And he's talking about, quote, endorsements, fashions, it's something baseball doesn't see. Beckham or Ronaldo in soccer and basketball, it's Kareem LeBron, it's football, it's Cam Newton. Football, basketball have such good fashion. And so he's going after the game that he plays because, quite frankly, he has the platform to do it. He played for an old school manager in Matt Williams. Matt, of course, didn't last. Bryce, of course, did because players always outlast managers. No offense to Matt. Wasn't a good fit. He's back here with the Diamondbacks. But you're going to hear quite a bit now about Bryce Harper and how he's going after his own game. And do I think he has a point? I do. Look, I'm very blessed, very fortunate to be working with people that for the most part are of the millennial generation, for the most part. And they're creatives. Jared Nielsen is a creative master when it comes to music. If I have one octave that is off, we have to stop and redo it. And at first, I wanted to take a pen to my eye and run it through my eye and out my ear. But he makes me look really good and really smart. And that's not easy to do. Jared Cohen is the same way. Jordan Hamm is the same way. And they're given expertises. Eric is different in that he's not a 25-year-old, but he's been around and knows the industry inside and out. So we have a team, right? We have to work together as a team. And that's how we've been able to make this successful. Bryce Harper is on his own island, but is he really? I think he's on a major continent where there are ball players that are now becoming in his age that are saying, we need to have a little bit more fun with this game. And we need to have a little bit more exuberance and show ourselves. So when he says baseball's tired, it's a tired sport because you can't express yourself and do what other people in other sports do. I'm not saying that baseball is, you know, boring, but it's the excitement of young guys who are coming into the game and the flair. If that's Matt Harvey, Jacob DeGrom, Manny Machado, or Yasiel Puig, there's so many guys in the game now. Jose Fernandez is a great example. Jose Fernandez will strike you out and look at you into the dugout and pump his fist. And if you hit a home run and pimp it, you can give it right back to him. So does Bryce Harper have a point? Absolutely he does. When I go to a baseball game, and I've been a guy that loves going to baseball games since I was a kid, and keeping score is something I do. I don't see kids doing that anymore. Doesn't mean I got the game figured out more than you. It's just scorekeeping is something that they'd rather be on their phone, texting, Snapchatting, whatever it may be, what form of social media while they're at the game. They barely pay attention to the game. But when there's a home run or when there's a great play that's made, they'll jump up and down. And a guy's fashion is what attracts a millennial generation. They don't want to see something that's boring and stated and stoic like their dads and moms watched or their grandmothers and grandfathers. So he's going after it. You know, you talked about fashion and how this is a very good point. So when a baseball game is over, what is it that you see after a baseball game? You see a player in front of his locker, either shirtless or t-shirt, hat backwards, and for us 40, 50, 60, 70, okay, that's what we're used to seeing. In his case, he's saying, you know, look at these guys when their game is over with and how they're interviewed. Even right down to Steph Curry, yeah, he'll be interviewed on the court, huffing and puffing and sweating. That's one thing. But the next time you see Steph Curry, he is all done up. He is all done up. He's got fashion going. When you see Cam Newton after an NFL game, whether you like his first down stuff on a 2-yard gain in the second quarter or not, when the game is over, he shows himself in a different way, and that attracts a bigger audience. Baseball does do a lot of things right. They do. I think their own network has been very good. I'd say the MLB network is a better watch for me than the NBA network. Some of these networks that they have on, there's not serious dialogue or discussion about what's going on in the game, and there's not criticism. And sometimes there needs to be criticism. Sometimes you need to bring the sledgehammer, not the fly swatter. And we're afraid to do that in our industry now. And that's wrong. We should be in a position where when what Bryce Harper is saying, I totally agree with him. Endorsements in fashion are something that is going to drive the interest in the game for new generations. They are going to encourage younger players to go try the game. They're actually going to encourage players to look better too. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Yeah, you're going to hear a lot about Bryce Harper in the next 24-hour news cycle. You just are, unless there's something major that comes down on a quarterback front. If it's the Broncos trying to decide between, let's see, Colin Kaepernick will fix all of our ills. The Cleveland Browns trying to get Colin. If you're Colin Kaepernick, do you go to Denver? Do you go to Cleveland? Cleveland doesn't seem to know what they're doing. They lost their offensive line yesterday, most of it. Plenty of content up on our website, College Pro, high school, College Pro, no difference to us. We just see stories, provide content around Arizona and some national stuff too. Check it out, sports360az.com.